We'll turn now to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Let us pray. O Lord, who guides us by your Spirit, guide our hearing and our listening now as we hear your preached word. And we want to pray also today too, O Lord, for the family of Jeannie's nephew, Hubert, who passed away. And we'll have the funeral this Friday. We want to remember that family too, that you give them the bread of strength going through this week and each day ahead. Now help us to receive gratefully the bread of your word as you break it and pass it out to us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to continue our series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. Next week, we'll bring this series to a conclusion, but today we'll start out by looking back at where we've been over the past several weeks. So far, we've listened as Jesus, first of all, calls us into his relationship with the Father, who's the source of our life and our salvation, whose holiness shapes us and forms us as his children, individually and together. Then we listened as Jesus teaches us to pray for and to long for the reign of Christ, the loving sovereignty of God, the kingdom of God to be fully and finally revealed and manifested in our lives and in the world. And then from there we listened as Jesus reminds us of our dependence upon God for our daily provision, our daily bread, and how we're also called to participate in God's feeding of the world ourselves. Then last week we listened as Jesus reminds us of our need to receive God's gift of forgiveness through Christ. And not only to receive that gift, but to pass it on by the way that we practice mercy and forgiveness toward others in our own lives. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's really the territory that we've covered so far in the Lord's Prayer, which brings us to the next petition. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Or as many of us have learned it, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As with other parts of the Lord's Prayer, so here with this petition, translation issues come into play here. The church has had a long history of trying to figure out exactly what the right wording ought to be in this petition. A few years ago, Pope Francis joined in the discussion when he supported a decision by the French Catholic Church to change the wording in this petition some. Instead of lead us not into temptation, the phrase was updated to don't let us go into temptation. The Pope's concern was that the traditional wording of the prayer could make it sound like God's really the one who causes us to sin, who takes us into temptation. So as the Pope put it in a television interview, it's not a good translation because it speaks of a God who induces temptation. I am the one who fails. It's not God pushing me into temptation to then see how I have fallen. A father doesn't do that. A father helps you to get up immediately. It's Satan who leads us into temptation. That's his department. Now, many scholars commended the Pope for his desire to make sure that there's no misinterpretation of this part of the Lord's Prayer, even if they didn't completely agree with him about how specifically it ought to be translated. They pointed to texts like James 1:13. No one, when tempted, should say, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. And then James goes on to say, but one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Maybe this angle on the issue was reflected in a woman who was spotted walking through a mall in Denver wearing a sweatshirt that said, lead me not into temptation. I can find the way myself. We need to take responsibility for our part in sin and the brokenness of our relationship with God. We can't pin the blame on God. But at the same time, we need to remember and really reaffirm God's sovereignty in our lives in their totality, which includes ways that God is present and working that we don't grasp, that are mysterious to us, that are beyond our comprehension to understand how he's forming us. What's more, the Bible includes stories about God bringing people into experiences of testing in order to refine their faith and their obedience. One of the most famous is God testing Abraham, calling upon him to sacrifice his son Isaac. That's one of the foremost ones. It turns out that Isaac is spared, but Abraham's faith is still put to the test. It's tried. We also have the story of how Job endured what God allowed Satan to do to destroy his family, his livelihood. And then we could add to these the words of the psalmist, prove me, Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. These kinds of stories and statements really call upon us to remember and reflect on experiences in our own lives of hardship, suffering, and sacrifice, and to consider how God may actually be present and working in those circumstances in order to refine our faith, to cultivate our devotion to him, to purify our trust in him. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Even if it doesn't mean that God deliberately puts us in situations which will make us fall, it certainly doesn't mean that God will exempt us from or protect us against circumstances where our faith will be tested. That's part of its meaning as well. In fact, the Greek term that's used in this part of the Lord's Prayer that's often translated as temptation is used in other parts of Scripture to refer to periods of trial, testing, those kinds of experiences. This word, a verbal form of it, appears earlier in Matthew. After Jesus has been baptized, we heard it in our scripture reading, earlier in the service. After Jesus passes through the water as sort of the embodiment of Israel's journey through the wilderness and comes up out of the water, we're told, immediately Jesus journeys into the wilderness. But notice how Matthew puts it. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Notice that the Spirit of God doesn't prevent Jesus here from experiencing testing and facing temptation, but actually leads Jesus toward it, such that this trial or testing is somehow part of God's providence and purpose and work. And yet, at the same time, God doesn't do the testing, like the Pope said. That's Satan's department in this story as well, his business. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're not so much asking God to protect us from testing, more to the point, we're asking God to protect us from succumbing to testing. We're petitioning God to give us victory, really, over whatever would bring us into disobedience or death or destruction. Whatever those kinds of things might be, we're not completely asking God to shield us from those things, but when in the midst of them, give us victory over them, triumph over them. Don't let us fall. That really is what leads us into the second part of the petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the best translation of that final word in the petition isn't simply evil, but the evil one. Jesus doesn't have in mind evil in the abstract, but evil as the tempter, whom we've already met, and he met earlier there in Matthew 4, in the wilderness. Our battle isn't, we're told, simply with our own inner impulses and destructive things like that, as harmful as those can be. Our battle, we're told, isn't simply against those things, but with a malevolent personal being whose purpose is to break down our faith, lead us into disobedience, and separate us from God. There was a journalist with NPR several years ago who tells about interviewing a man named Romeo Dallaire. Dallaire was the one who commanded United Nations peacekeeping forces in 1993 and 1994. And during that period, more than 800,000 Rwandan Tutsis were slaughtered in a three-month period. And during this interview, Dallaire said that what happened to him made him believe in evil, and even a force, he said, that he called the devil. He said, when he sat down with some of the people on the other side of the battle, said of the devil, "I've negotiated with him, shaken his hand. Yes, there is no doubt in my mind. And the expression of evil to me is through the devil at work in possessing human beings, turning them into machines of destruction. And one of the evenings in my office, I was looking out the window, and my senses felt that something was there with me that shifted me. I think that evil and good are playing themselves out, and God is monitoring and looking at how we respond to it." It tells us something very important about the Lord's Prayer. It tells us that the Lord's Prayer isn't just a mild and timid request for God to give us the things that we need just to get through each day. That may be part of what's going on, but it tells us even more that the Lord's Prayer is really a way of entering into this daily clash of kingdoms, the spiritual conflict, warfare that's generated by the very fact that the kingdom of God has arrived through Christ and the devil resists it. And we ourselves resist it in so many ways. We live out our lives, according to the Lord's Prayer, on a battleground each day where there are forces at work in people's lives and in our lives that are greater than any human being's capacity to combat and to overcome. as Paul writes in Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's no wonder that the verses that follow, which describe what it looks like to put on then the full armor of God, if this is the case, that they culminate with an admonition to pray. Pray, it says, in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And that includes urgent requests like, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Great reformer Martin Luther, he once wrote a book titled A Simple Way to Pray. And in it, he gives his friend Peter advice on how to pray. One of the ways he does this is by taking each petition of the Lord's Prayer, teaching him how to repeat it and how to elaborate on it. Now, when it came to this particular petition, lead us not into temptation, this is what Luther says. Say, O dear Lord, Father and God, keep us fit and alert, eager and diligent in thy word and service, so that we do not become complacent, lazy, and slothful, as though we had already achieved everything. In that way, the fearful devil cannot fall upon us, surprise us, deprive us of thy precious word, or stir up strife and factions among us, lead us into other sin and disgrace, both physically and spiritually. Rather, he says, give us wisdom, God. Give us strength through thy Spirit, that we might valiantly resist him and gain the victory. Amen. Now, the good news is that the victory has already been won through Jesus Christ. That's part of the meaning of the gospel. In and of ourselves, we're incapable of overcoming evil. But we have a Savior who has done that for us through his death and resurrection. In today's scripture for Matthew, we saw how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert in order to be tried and tested, to square off with the devil. And our Lord went there. He went there not just for himself, but for us too. His triumph was also our triumph. I like the way that one writer has put it when he says, every time we implore God to lead us not into temptation, we are practicing our gratitude for the Son who went into temptation on our behalf, and he passed the test that we flunk. Passed it for us. And our victory, our triumph, is in union with him by faith in him as your Lord and Savior. Remember what I said earlier about the Greek word that means not only temptation, it means trial, it means testing as well. That word, like we've seen, shows up in Jesus' wilderness experience with the devil. And then it shows up again. This time it shows up near the end of Jesus' ministry. After Jesus' final meal with his disciples, he takes them out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they arrive, Jesus exhorts them, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Which can also be translated, that you may not come into the time of trial. So as Jesus goes further and deeper into his own suffering and darkness and death, he reminds us that he's entering the ultimate trial at both the beginning of his ministry and the end of his ministry. He faces the test that will determine his future and our future. The book of Hebrews, go with me there for a moment. It's viewed as sort of an early Christian sermon of encouragement. Some of you may recall the wonderful passage where the preacher there in Hebrews speaks about Jesus' intercession for us, going to God on our behalf. says, "For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted, tested in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Our trials and tests, whatever form they come, our battles with the devil are real. But so is the victory that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross and through his resurrection, that victory. Our battles with the devil are real, but so is what God has accomplished for us through Christ. And so real as well is the power and the strength that's available to you and me through Christ for our victory and our triumph over the temptations that we face. Go back to this part of the Lord's Prayer again. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, when it comes to full and final deliverance, only the Lord who has given us this prayer can do that. Only the Lord can save. Our only hope really is in him. But for now, we still face our tests. We face our tests, though, with confidence in what Christ has accomplished for us, with the strength and the power that's available to us through him. And we face those trials and those tests, whatever forms they come, with the encouragement that's given to us in the scriptures, the scripture that I shared earlier with our children here in our worship. "These have come," it says, "these trials and tests have come, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Let us pray. O God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, we praise you that you have overcome sin, evil, the devil, and death, and that through faith in Christ, we can have this triumph in our lives and live victoriously. We know, God, that that doesn't mean you will shield us or protect us from trials and tests, but in whatever ways you're present there and working, we pray that you work in these times of trial and testing in our lives. Work to refine our faith, to purify our devotion to you, to cleanse our commitment to you, to make us stronger in the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. Oh God, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We pray this for your honor and praise and glory. Amen.